something the Lord, just talking about verses that have just kind of jumped out to you. This just came to mind earlier this week, and just want to share this with you. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into it, and then we'll head on downstairs. Father, I thank you for everyone who's here tonight, and again, just praise you for bringing us through 2017 with all the victories, and Lord, the things that you've used, sometimes even what we might consider in our personal lives defeats, that teach us to depend on you and look to you. Thank you, Lord, for every trial that you've brought us through to make us more like your Son. Thank you for every answered prayer that has made us realize how much you love us and how real you are. I would ask that there be, in one way, nothing different in this coming year. And yet, Father, we ask for greater things even than these. And I think about the scripture that Elijah read just a little bit ago. God, you said we would do greater works. And we've seen that over the years, where you had some saved, others have seen thousands saved. You have done great works for your people. And it should be that it's no different here. So, Father, in all the ministries we have, Lord, in just our personal walk, I ask that you would do great things in the coming year. And just this thought tonight, pray God to be a help to someone here tonight. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking earlier in this week, just, you know, exactly what to do. And there's a phrase. It's found in the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And a little phrase just says this, the Lord is there. Those are the last words that Ezekiel wrote. For me personally, at least for this week, that's been a very good encouragement. The Lord is there. I want you to look at that verse with me. Just go to Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 35. Ezekiel 48. In the 35th verse, last verse. In Ezekiel 48:35, the Bible says, it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. So what was he referring to when he talks about the 18,000 measures? Well, it's pretty obvious in the verse itself that he's talking about a city, and that city is the Jerusalem of the millennial kingdom. The last 4 to 6 chapters of the book of Ezekiel describe the coming millennial kingdom and the division of the land and the reinstitution of the Jewish temple and the things that will be done there. And he mentions in these last several verses here in Ezekiel 48 about the city itself. And you can go, we won't, but you can go to the book of Revelation, chapters 21 and 22, and see the almost identical description of the city that comes down, the New Jerusalem that descends out of heaven. Now, why am I sharing this with you? I hope my thoughts will make sense tonight. This is for a future time, and in that time, in the future, he says the Lord is there. Let me say it again if that didn't quite grasp on. This verse was written for a future time, and in that time in the distant future, hopefully it's not distant now, the Lord is there. Now, I realize when we look at this verse, we're looking at a renamed city. It's called Jerusalem today, and the name Jerusalem, for the most part, means city of peace. Then, when the Lord Jesus Christ reigns in that city, it will be called the Lord is there, because literally, the Lord will be there. He'll be in that new city, Jerusalem. But for me personally, now maybe this won't make sense to you, but for me it does, and I guess when you're reading your Bible, it just matters how the Holy Spirit deals with you. The significance in the statement, the Lord is there, is special in this way. The Lord is there in a place and time that does not yet exist. Doesn't exist here on earth yet. And yet, God says that already exists in his vision. It already exists in his way of thinking. And what I see in this phrase, I mean, again, this is just some personal comfort for me, is this, that the Lord is already there in that future place. Now, we're embarking on 2018. As Joshua said, we've never passed this way here before. We've never lived 2018. We are about to step over that border here in a few hours. And I don't know what awaits us in 2018, but I do know this, before it happens, the Lord is there. We know the Lord is everywhere. We know he's omnipresent. But he also transcends time. Now, when I talk about omnipresent, I think most of you already know what the word omnipresent means. It means he is everywhere at every moment. So, being here or being in Arequipa, Peru, or in Dujianyin, China, or wherever it may be, he can be here with us, and he can be with the believers in those places at this very hour. So he can be in one place physically and be in another place, in many places, if you would, physically, all at the same time. We understand what the word omnipresent means, but I think it goes beyond just the Lord's ability to be everywhere, but that ability to be omnipresent concerns time as well. He is the I was, he is the I am, he is the I will to be. And that's exactly what the book of Revelation tells us. I want you to go with me to the book of Revelation for a minute. I want you to look at a few different passages, beginning in chapter 1 first. And here are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus speaking says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. In my mind, and in your mind, we divide that into, if you would, time zones, past, present, and future. I don't believe God does that. I don't believe he does that because he's omnipresent. He can be in all times, at all time, just as he can be in every place in a single moment. So he can do with time. Go to the very last chapter, Revelation 22. Revelation 22, and look at verses 12 and 13. Again, it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And he says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. As far back in the distant past as you can imagine, and as far into the distant future as your mind can conceive, the Lord is there. It's not foreign to him. 2018 is a foreign thought to me. It does not yet exist. I've not been there. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. The Lord is there. The Lord is there. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4, we hear these words. It's an interesting verse. He says, I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. I find that significant, that little word with. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. And in my mind, again, in my mind's somewhat simplistic, he is already with the last. He is already in the future. He is already there understanding it and experiencing it, and nothing surprises him. 2018 is going to hold some surprises for me. It's going to hold some surprises for you. Some of those things are going to be great, and some of those things aren't going to be great. But whether we rejoice in those things or sorrow over those things, I understand this, because God is omnipresent, he's already there. He's already experiencing those things for you and me. Not only is he everywhere, we're told he's eternal. While we know that the eternal carries the meaning of no beginning and no ending, it also reveals that time means absolutely nothing to God. So every time you pick up this Bible and you read within the thought of dimension, the dimension of time especially, that is a concept that I understand and you understand, and God transcends that. Time means nothing to Him. I'm saying to you that God tells us about a past and He tells us about a future, but there is no past and there is no future with God. He is simply the I am. Not the I was, not the I will be, He is I am. That was the name that He gave for Himself to Moses. That is the name that Jesus claimed over and over again in His earthly ministry. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am, and on He went with the descriptions of who He was. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 is one of the verses I use in my worship of God. And there in verse 27 of Deuteronomy 33, it says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." We know He's everlasting. He has no end. Well, He's never had a beginning either. He's the eternal God. There's no yesterday or tomorrow, only to you and me. So for God to look at 2018 and to say, what kind of surprises lie ahead? There is no surprise to Him, because He's already there. He's all-knowing. I want you to turn to Psalm 139, and a lot of you love this psalm. I think all of us do when we read it. And I want you to go back and begin with me in verse 1, Psalm 139 and verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light are both alike unto Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Of course, we know the rest of this psalm pretty well. It's a wonderful psalm describing the miracle of created life. But what I want you to notice, in going back to this first verse, is the all-knowing attitude aspect of God. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. David wrote these words, but any of us can place ourselves in this passage. Long before I was ever thought of, long before Donald Russell Vaughn and Jesse Lou Vaughn ever thought about having a second son, seventh of eight children brought into their family, God knew Jeff Vaughn. He knew me. And long before there was a Sarah Vismans, and long before there was a Marshall, long before there was a Gianni, listen, long before that, God knew you. Thou hast searched me and known me. God knows my past. He knows my present. And He knows my future. In verse 3, He says, Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with, notice the word, all my ways. Does that refer just to the present moment, our present circumstances? Well, all of us would say, well, absolutely not. I mean, God knows all about us. He knows what's going to occur in our life. Obviously, he knows what's been in the past. He knows what's going on now, and he knows what's going to be in the future. And that's my point. God is already there. Think of the verse again. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Not just all my actions, not just all my destinations, but everything about me, past, present, and future. Notice verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Past, present, future. Can't escape God. Personally, I don't think any of us want to escape God. It's too good being his child. I don't think any of us have that kind of thought. David said, even if that were an option, it's really not an option because it cannot happen. So God, who is there in our past, and we have certainly at times given praise and thanksgiving for what God has done to work in our lives in the past, we know he's here in the present, and we can be certain that he is there, that the Lord is there in that future, wherever it may be. You cannot flee from his presence. He's an eternal God. And then look at verses 11, look at verse 10. Verse 10. Even there shall thy hand lead me, and the right hand shall hold me. Even there, past, present, future. He'll hold our hand. He'll be there for us. I hope we understand that. Hope we grasp that as we enter this new year, an unknown to us, an unknown for our personal lives, an unknown for our church family, an unknown for this nation, he's already there. Verses 11 and 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now again, I know he's referring to a physical light and a physical darkness. But I want you to think in terms of darkness as being that unknown. We have a darkness concerning our understanding of the future. We don't know what's around the corner. You don't know what awaits you when you get in your vehicle and make your way home tonight. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, literally, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen to you the first day, January 1st of 2018. You don't know. But he does. The darkness can't hide God. The darkness cannot hide us from God's presence in our life, so that whether it's in the present or whether it's in the future, he's there. The Lord is there. I'm thinking about this upcoming year, 2018. There'll be blessings. Every year brings blessings. Every single year does. Some of those blessings, you know, are just amazing. Things that I never ever expected God to do. But there are always sorrows connected, you know, with every year that we live. I don't know what's going to happen in 2018. And sometimes I can look at the future and almost fear it. I don't have to, because the Lord is there. What's going to happen on March 15th of 2018? I have no idea. He's already there. What's going to happen on June 19th of 2018? I have no idea, but he's already there. What are we going to be saying December 31st of 2018 when we come to the conclusion of this current year? I don't know, but we have nothing to fear. He's there. I guess I'm going to pick on Carrie again a little bit here. Carrie, last year at this time, you had no idea what awaited you. The trials that you and Seth and your family has had to go through. And had you known you may have been very reluctant to enter into this year of 2017. But you know what? God has used it. God has used it. And I don't think He's done using it in your life. And we could say that about a number of people. John, you losing your son. I mean, on and on we could go with things that have happened in people's lives, both good and bad. And listen, the Lord was in the past. We realize now as we complete 2017, He was there through all the difficulties, all the trials, all the sorrows, and all the victories, all the blessings. The Lord was there. And next year at this time, when we stand in the same place, I think we'll say the same thing. Why? Because the Lord is already there in 2018. We have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't mean much to you tonight. But for me personally, it does, because you can look at some things and say, God, this doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. But He's there. And He's a good God. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So I praise the Lord for that. Close tonight with Revelation chapter 4. There, two verses. And again, it speaks about that reality of who God is. Revelation 4:8, it says, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Now listen to these words, "which was and is to come." That helps me understand that God was the God of the past. He is the God of the future. He is the God of the present. That's for me to understand and try to grasp God. Time does not hold God. There is no past with God Himself. There is no future with God Himself. He just is. And He transcends time. He is there where we cannot be. He'll lead us there, but He's already there. Revelation 4:11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are were created." Here's the only thing I have to worry about. I'm God's created being physically, and God's created being spiritually. And the only thing I have to worry about in 2018 is, no matter what the event may be, good or what we as humans would perceive as bad, that I bring Him glory and honor and power and pleasure. So God, I don't know what awaits me, and You don't know what awaits You, but He's already there, and He has designed everything that is about to come upon us for the purpose of bringing Him glory and honor and power and blessing and pleasure. That's why you've been created. Nothing else. It's not for you to be a Sunday school teacher. It's not for me to be a pastor. It's not for me to be a soul winner. It's not for me to be a good husband. It is to bring Him glory. Because all those things are to bring Him glory. Taking your kids to basketball practice, bring Him glory. Entertaining a little one, grandchild, reality, bring Him glory. Singing a solo, bring Him glory. Marriage, new, or marriage that you've been involved with for several years, bring Him glory. That's your ultimate goal. And to know, no matter what awaits us, He's there, makes it all the more, what's the right word? Exciting to see what's going to happen. That we, in those events, good or bad, can bring Him glory. I trust that we will. Well, Father, I thank You for Your word, and just ask that as we look to 2018, I've not been there. Your people have not yet been there, but You're there already. And Father, I just ask that we would seek to bring You glory in that place that You understand and that You have already, in Your wisdom and Your omniscience and omnipresence, Your omnipotence, have designed for us to give greater glory and greater power to your name. Do that through us. And Lord, help us to be pliable in your hands in this new year for us, a year that you've already experienced. God, will thank you for it. Lord, I would ask that you would just bless the time of fellowship downstairs and all that goes on. We want you to be pleased. God, will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We normally try to do this. We'll do it again. Let's just take time to pray tonight. Pray as a family. Grab a friend. Pray with somebody. But would you ask God to use 2018 for His glory? Whatever He decides to do, whatever His leadings are in our life, in our individual lives, as families, and as a church family, let's just ask Him to get glory through our lives. So we'll take time to pray, and after a period of prayer, I'll close in prayer, and then we'll head on downstairs. So you can divide up any way you would like tonight.